Well, happy Mother's Day, everybody. That's my first chance to say that to everybody here. But as you think about Mother's Day, you think about homes, and you know, what is your picture of an ideal Christian home? What's an ideal Christian home? Is it, you know, the nuclear family, or maybe the extended family? Maybe a single parent family, or a blended family, or an empty nester? You know, there's a problem that I have with every one of these pictures of an ideal Christian home. If any one of those is my ideal, that leaves somebody out, right? So on this Mother's Day, what is the picture of an ideal Christian home that I want to keep in my mind, and I pray that you and I would keep in our minds this coming week? And I stumbled across this picture of an ideal Christian home. Mom and Dad really aren't present there. It's an ideal Christian home because there is an ideal Christian there. He's called Jesus as the leader of this home. And it's only when we look at Jesus that we kind of see Mom and Dad and go, oh yeah, I see shadows of Jesus in my mom and dad. So this is my picture of an ideal Christian home. And I want to celebrate everything in our homes today that remind us of this ideal Christian home. This is a picture of Jesus in the upper room with his disciples, John 13, where he gathers together to celebrate the Passover meal. He institutes the Lord's Supper, and then that night he'll be betrayed. He gathers all the disciples together. John's gospel tells us that he knows exactly who he is. He knows that he has come from the Father and he's going to go back to the Father, and that the Father's put all power in heaven and earth under his control. And so he gets up and he takes off his outer garments and he wraps a towel around his waist and he washes the disciples' feet. What a beautiful picture of self-sacrificing, humble love. Oddly enough, I thought about this in a way that I'd never thought about before, you know. If I had been one of the disciples, and I knew that Jesus was going to wash my feet, I think that as I walked to the upper room, I would have been a little bit more careful where I walked. I would have avoided the sheepdog because Jesus is going to wash my feet. You know? I would have made sure that I stepped over the open sewer because Jesus is going to wash my feet. Now, I'm not saying that to gross you guys out, just helping us understand what a lowly task this is. You know, if you would wash my feet right now, I'll tell you, my feet stink. They're sweaty right now. But other than that, they're pretty clean. I took a shower this morning. But back in that day, I mean, those feet were filthy, and you can understand why this was the task of the lowliest servant. And Jesus, in this ideal Christian home, puts love into action, a love that serves. And on this Mother's Day, I just want to celebrate any time that you see in your Christian home shadows of what happened there that night. For many of us, when we think of the ideal Christian home and this love that serves others, the person in the shadows is our mom. You know, she didn't just clean dirty feet, right? She cleaned dirty bottoms. Lots of them. And she kept on serving us. She'd put food in front of us and we'd go, bleh. And she kept on serving us. Wow. If God has blessed you with a mom or the memory of a mom like that, who embodies in so many ways this, you know, love that serves others, just celebrate that love this day. That's what Mother's Day is all about. Let's just celebrate that little picture of the ideal Christian home, that self-sacrificing love that serves others. In the upper room, I also understood what we can give for Mother's Day. You know, what do you give for Mother's Day? Well, what could the disciples give to Jesus to say, thank you so much for all of this ideal love? Now, if I had been Jesus, I probably would have said, love me. But what does he say instead? It's in the same upper room, same night, John chapter 13, where Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. All people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus didn't say, everybody will know that you're my disciples if you love me. And to be honest, you're not exactly the most loving child if you go, you know, I love my mom. That's relatively easy for most of us. But if we really want to give a gift to our moms and the memory of our moms, it's not loving the idealized Savior. Oh, if he were here, I'd do this for him. And it's not really loving our moms. I think the best gift that we can give to our moms is the same gift that Jesus said you can give to him. Love one another. So, those people in your family that got some pretty filthy feet. I heard something over here that somebody's got filthy feet over in your family over here. You know your siblings that picked on you when you were a kid? The siblings that maybe you feel like have misused your mom and dad and taken advantage of them. And this broader family right here, this Christian home. You know, what about the feet of the people sitting next to you? They're pretty dirty, aren't they? You know, Jesus, I'd wash your feet, but don't ask me to wash these people's. And Jesus said, you know, if you want to give me a gift saying thank you for my love for you, then wash each other's feet. Love one another. And if we really want to give a gift to our moms, to the memory of our moms, I have to think that most moms would say, if I can see the self-sacrificing love that I showed to my child, reflected in the way they treat others, so that love has been passed down to the next generation, I don't think you could give a better gift to your mom than that. So when you see that kind of love from mom and for each other in Christian homes, this is the day to just step back and say, thank you, Lord, for this miracle among us. But the reality is, none of our homes are the ideal Christian homes. All of us have dirty feet. And so I would invite you in your hearts to approach the Savior. In the other services, when I had the chance to talk to them before the Lord's Supper, I talked to them in this way, to think about the Lord's Supper. As you're coming up for the Lord's Supper, stop looking at everybody else's feet. and just look at your own. Because that's how you're properly prepared to receive the Lord's Supper and to come into God, or to come into God's presence in any way, is you look at your own feet and the filth that you've put on your own feet. And you just come and confess it all before your God, because he sees it all anyway. And in the Lord's Supper, we receive Jesus' body and blood with that bread and wine. And in a very tangible way, he gives us what I want to give you right now through the spoken word. Your sins are forgiven. That Jesus hasn't just washed your feet, but he has washed you completely clean of all of your sins. Isn't that a great gift that Jesus gives us? You know, for you moms, you're the perfect mom because you're forgiven. Us kids, we're the perfect children because the filth has been washed away and we're perfectly forgiven. And in this Christian home where we enjoy this forgiveness, we might think this is where we can enjoy perfect peace. Everything is going to be okay. But that wasn't the case in this ideal Christian home, and it's not in ours. Do you know what Jesus talked about right after he put his outer garments back on and he sat down at the table? You know the very first thing that he talks about? One of you is going to betray me. He's just served in this way. One of you is going to betray me. You know, and what facial expression do you see when you hear Jesus say to his disciples, one of you is going to betray me? You know, one of you guys is going to betray me. No. In fact, the Holy Spirit inspired John to record for us what Jesus was feeling. It says that he was troubled in spirit. You see, even in an ideal Christian home, there is pain. The pain of betrayal. Some of you may feel that kind of pain. Right now, on this Mother's Day, the betrayal that you feel may be that God has somehow betrayed you, because your dream of what your family would be is not happening. Maybe that God in his wisdom has said, you aren't going to have children. You wanted to be a mom or a dad, and God says, no, I'm not going to give you that gift. And he never explains why. And it's very easy to feel like, you know, God, you've betrayed me. And there's this incredible pain. You see, pain comes in Christian families. Or later on in that same chapter, Jesus talks about going away, and you know, Peter, he's filled with pride, and pride causes pain too. He's filled with his pride, and Jesus says, I'm going to go away, and Peter says, I'll follow you wherever you go, I'll die for you. You know? And that very night, Jesus has to say, in that same room, at that same table, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Don't you suppose that Jesus was filled with pain as he saw how pride was ruining the relationship that Peter had with him and with the other apostles? Pride certainly comes into our ideal Christian homes too and causes all kinds of pain. And then Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is really the greatest pain that comes in Christian families, the pain of separation. Some of you were dreading this day because maybe this is the first Mother's Day that your mom isn't here with you, or maybe on Mother's Day you think about the child that you have lost. See, he was telling the disciples, I'm going to go away, I'm going to die, and they were filled with pain, they were filled with sorrow. And some of you are observing Mother's Day today with that kind of pain in your heart. And I want to let you know that that's not an indication that somehow you failed or that you're not a Christian home. Because even in the ideal Christian home, there was pain. And I just want to bring that out to remind us that this is the place for us to prepare for pain that will certainly come into every one of our homes. And we prepare for pain by listening to what Jesus said in John chapter 14, which is actually the gospel lesson for today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas speaks up and says, Lord, we don't even know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. With these words, Jesus takes us who often experience pain in our homes, and he takes us to the empty tomb so that our homes can be filled with hope. He says, first of all, don't let your hearts be troubled, which is kind of like a slap in the face. It's like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Don't you know the pain that we're going through? Jesus does. Remember, it's the chapter before where it says he was troubled in spirit. This is the same gospel book where in John chapter 11, when Lazarus, Jesus' friend, dies, it says Jesus wept. Man, he understands every bit of the pain that's present in our whole households today. But he says to us, don't let your hearts be troubled. Let your hearts find a place of calm, like still waters. And where can we find that place of calm, those still waters? He says, trust in God, trust also in me. Well, is he trustworthy? That's where we go back to the empty tomb. Because if that tomb was empty on Easter morning, then Jesus is trustworthy. If that tomb was empty, then yes, we truly are God's forgiven people. If that tomb was empty, then our God can bring healing to our hearts. Our God can bring us to a place of fullness, of contentment, even in the midst of pain. If the tomb is empty, then he can give us courage even in the face of death itself. When we experience that horrible pain of separation from somebody that we love, if that tomb was empty, then all of us who fall asleep in Christ will have this grand and glorious reunion someday, and we can look forward to it. So in this Mother's Day, I would invite us all to go back and make sure that the tomb is empty. You can't go to Jerusalem. You go here. If this is a painful Mother's Day for you, open up to John chapter 20 and walk out to the tomb with Mary Magdalene and join her as she looks into the tomb and she sees the angels who say, he's not here. Join Thomas in the upper room in John chapter 20, where he's filled with doubts and questions, and Jesus says, you know, just put your finger here, stop doubting, and believe. This is a painful time for you. Then take a walk on this beautiful day with the two men on the way to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, and let Jesus remind you that everything that happened to Jesus was part of God's plan, and that he has risen from the dead just as God had promised, and that everything that's happening to you is still part of God's plan. We may not figure it out, but it's still true. Go back to the empty tomb. If the tomb was empty that Easter, then then there's hope, no matter what the pain. There's hope because there is a place prepared for us. He said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I never really thought about that until my daughter got married the second time. It's a blended family. It's a second marriage for both my daughter and my son-in-law. And two of my grandchildren are only there in the house half the time. They're with their other parent the other half the time. And when they got married and another one came along, they decided to add two bedrooms down in the basement. And I'm going, that's pretty expensive. Those two kids are only there half the time. Can't they kind of squeeze together? And my daughter said, no, no. We want them to know that there's always a place for them in this home. Ever feel like sometimes there's no place for you, you don't fit? There's a place. A place for you in Jesus' home. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed because of the way Jesus spoke to the disciples. My guess is the disciples scratched their heads and went, I don't, this is odd. This is weird. See, because Jesus is a guy and he's talking to all these guys and he uses wedding terminology. You see, back in the day, when a young man was going to marry a woman, he would go to this young woman's house, mom and dad's home, the home that she really didn't want to spend the rest of her life in, and he would say, be patient. I'm going to go back to my dad's house, my dad's compound, and I'm going to build a room there, a place just for you and me. There's nothing that you have to do. I'm just asking you to wait. You know that I love you, and I'm going to come back. When that room is done, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be with me because I want you to be with me for the rest of our lives. And that's the way that Jesus talked to the disciples and is talking to us. There's nothing that you have to do. On Good Friday and on Easter morning, he told you, you know what? I love you. And I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Next week, we'll take a look at Jesus' ascension and we'll see what Jesus is doing right now for us to prepare a place for us. But he says, there's nothing you have to do. I'm going to come back. And when the questions come into our mind, but can we be sure? That's where Jesus says, oh, I'm the way and the truth and the life. You don't have to worry. So on this Mother's Day, let's celebrate when we see our homes reflecting that kind of self-sacrificing love, especially as we see moms show that kind of love that Jesus had for the disciples, washing their feet. Let's not be surprised by the pain that comes into our lives. It came into the ideal Christian home 2,000 years ago, too. But let's keep coming back here to the empty tomb so that that pain can be replaced with hope. Because you know the way to the place where Jesus is going. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, for most of us today, this is an incredible day because it's just a day that's set aside to say, Thank you so much for giving us moms who love us. And for every one of us here who has had a great experience with our moms, we just praise and thank you as we thank them. Lord, we know that this is also a day of pain and sadness for some. And so we pray for them too. Fill their lives with a hope for not just an ideal home here in heaven, but here on earth, but the perfect home that you've prepared for all of us in heaven. Keep our eyes focused on that and fill our vision with that sure and certain home so that our troubled hearts can be calmed and you can bring healing to the pain that so very often is a part of our lives here on earth. Lord, it has been a privilege over the last few weeks to come back over and over again to the empty tomb. Pray that you would help us to do that over and over again. And I pray that you would, as we look forward, we're going to leave this series behind, but help us remember all that empty tomb tells us, that we don't have to have an empty, meaningless life, an empty, hurting heart, that empty tomb is your solution that keeps us focused on an eternal home for us. Guaranteed. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Amen. We'll join in the Lord's Prayer, brother. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, everybody. God bless.